Hello everybody and welcome to this Wednesday night 5 p.m. for Victoria session, the live session of the coaching group. I hope you've all had a magnificent day already. For those who still have some yet to your day, I hope it continues to be a good one if it's been good so far. Now let's go straight, get straight into things. I'm going to share my screen. Here we go, and we're on our Trello board. So for today, what we're covering is talking about a new list and a new card that I've got going on that will help you out. Also looking into, just put my phone over, it's so distracting when it flashes up. Also a survey that I created as well. I wanted to show you that, and I'd love your help with that if that's okay. Going through first certificates for children. This came up in the Facebook group, and I said I'd mention it more today, and talking about recall strategy as well. So hopefully these are all topics that are going to be very interesting to you. Now let's make sure that everything's here. We've got a couple of people jumping online. Good to see you both there. Hope you can all hear me beautifully. Feel free to participate as always, any time. So the first thing I wanted to mention on that agenda item is the new list that I've got going on. And if you look across, get my little face out the way there, there's a new list here called video tutorials. What I thought I would do is each time I put up a post within the Facebook page, let me show you that as well. Oh, I've closed down Facebook because someone was messaging me. They're very excited. They've got a new job at a new practice. And I said, I've got to go, but keep telling me about it. Here we go. What I thought I would do is pop up some posts there that you guys can copy the content and the images from and brand it as your own, so you can very easily get your content flowing out on your Facebook page. Now, for me to be able to just quickly construct something and create a little video, it only takes between 5 and 10 minutes. And those little videos, as you watch them, they'll help you become more and more proficient and quick yourself in the use of Canva and getting these posts out there as well. So within these video tutorials, at the moment, it's going to be populated quite well with these little Canva Facebook post ones, but whatever little tutorials I can help out with, I'm going to add them all under here. So if you click into that, you'll be able to see the video that I constructed for that particular post. Hello, everybody. I thought I'd take you through a step-by-step. So you only ever have to put 5 to 10 minutes. I'm seeing this one's 12 minutes.
Take out.
Here we go. So hopefully that list becomes something that you can jump onto the minute you need to even delegate the task to somebody else who hasn't done it before. I'm trying to make them very easy step-by-step videos. Do let me know if there is anything that you want added to that list or a type of post that you want me to go through and create within Canva and within that Facebook group. When you want to go and have a look at it, if you lose it, the link is there, because we can link those Canva cards. The member check-in server, I thought to myself, you know, under normal circumstances when I'm working one-on-one with clients, I'm in constant communication with the owner to make sure that they're traveling well in terms of their time availability to get everything done, when we set up our online sessions, etc. But because there's quite a number of practices involved, I thought a survey would serve the purpose very nicely. And this particular survey, I'm just going to go to how it appears to you guys when you click into it. I can either make it that I know where the responses come from or I don't. With the team member survey, it was useful to know, of course, because then I knew which team members were coming from which practices. This one is going to be completely anonymous. And so I've emailed you through the link with the reminder email about this live session today. I've also added the link to that form beside here as well. And I will add it to within the activity because these get crossed out. So I'll add it to within the activity. I'll quickly do that now. And that will just provide me with information around, is the timing the number of sessions, the length of the sessions, all these sort of things. Is it all still working for you the way we've got it structured at the moment? As you know, we structured it at the start knowing that, or having the thought that you'd have a lot of downtime to fill. So it was a great chance for to jump into everything, which is why I started with the two live sessions a week. Normally, if I'm live with a whole team, it's only once a week. I have personally enjoyed the momentum of the twice weekly. And with each live session, we're covering a couple of main topics, and then that gives a few days to implement things. And knowing as well that everything I talk about, you're not going to implement everything. And so you'll have a bit longer to implement the things that are useful to you, because you are cherry picking what you want to implement into your practice straight away. So I would like to know whether the twice a week is still suitable for you guys, whether you're finding the information too overwhelming, because if you're finding it too overwhelming, you'll start to disengage, and that's what I don't want. I want to have everything aimed towards keeping that high level of engagement. So there's a few questions there about whether you're getting value from the system and the program, and about the live sessions, and if the recordings are working well, if Trello is working well for you. This survey will not take long. It's not that many questions. But then the second part of this survey is a little bit of market research. You may have seen the video that I put out to you with the email. And because this program seems to be working very well from both my perspective and many of you as well, who have given me feedback around your experience of the program, I've thought it might be a very good product moving forward with the rest of the market. And so I thought I would call it the club, thinking that would be a, you know, pretty cool marketing tool where, do you want more patients? Join the club. Do you want to know how to manage your practice more successfully? Join the club. You know, we're all in that group together. So join the club and we'll all move forward together. And the people within the club, I would just like to be able to market effectively and see if I'm actually correct in that this would be a marketable product. I've just got a few questions for you guys there as participants so far, whether I'm on the money or not, or whether I'm off the mark. So just let me know. So if you could submit that survey to me, the question, the answers to that, as I say, it's anonymous. I do not know where the responses come from. So feel free to be as honest as you like. I don't mind being told that my ideas are silly. That's the way we get to the brilliant ideas. Now, the first of the major things that I wanted to talk about today was the first certificates for children. Now, one of our brilliant members spoke about on the Facebook group that she was going to do a really fantastic idea. And I know that we've got one of our wonderful members that has tried and tried again to get videos happening, but it is a bit of a giggle fest sometimes because we're all a little bit nervous doing it in front of the whole team. But what Elle, she's on Facebook as Ilsa, but what Elle wants to do is actually videotape the child dental examination experience. And so then they can edit that down, make it a nice short snippy video that they put on their website, on their Facebook page, adding promotional posts and all the rest of it. And to be able to allay any fears around bringing children to the dentist or that the children may have, but just describe the process, because you can make it really fun. And as we've said in the past, the children are the canaries the parents send in to make sure the practice is a good enough one for them to then attend. And we want to try to attract as many clients through children as possible, because when you get one child, you get a whole family if you give them a great experience. And this sort of thing, that reassurance, this is what's going to happen. And if you are doing the child centre or kindergarten visits, that's another way of explaining to the kids, this is going to be a fun experience. There's nothing scary about it. Parents don't know what the experience is going to be like either until they've seen it in action. And so I think getting that video, that's going to become a video for your practice, Elle, that you can roll out over and over again, or have many different uses. It's a tremendous idea. And what I did mention as part of that is what we used to do at Dendy. That Dendy was the practice that I used to own. And we would develop certificates for kids on their very first visit. And it was such a thrill for them. You know, they're sitting there proudly in the chair, they get a photograph, and then as they walk out, they get a printout of that. It's all about making this sort of thing as easy as possible. Otherwise, it will be a process that gets done on a couple of kids, but not all kids. And when we're talking about customer satisfaction and providing patients with a positive experience, you can imagine with this specific scenario that two mothers or two parents were speaking to one another, you should go and see my dentist because they gave my child a fantastic certificate at the end of the appointment time. You should do that. Make an appointment time with them. And then when their child, that second child comes through, it's a bit of a chaotic day. We don't have time for the photograph today. We're not going to do it. Then without actually doing anything bad, you have not matched the basic expectations that that family came in with and what they were going to be delivered with. And so this is an area that needs to have consistency. And in order for this to be consistent, you need to have as easy a process as possible. Now, when we did it at Dendy, granted it was me that was doing it because I was sitting on the reception all the time. And so I understood all the, and I was passionate about making sure that those sort of things were consistent. So I went through that laborious task of always making sure the camera had batteries that were charged, and then they'd take the photo, and then I'd come out and I'd get the little memory thing out and I'd put it into my reader, and then I'd download it, then I'd attach it to my Word document and blah, blah, blah. And it took longer than what I would be happy with asking other dental teams to do when they're busy and in the throes of the day. Luckily, with all of our technology now, it's so much easier. So one of the practices that I work with, whoever, whether it be the dentist or the nurse, takes a photo on their iPhone of the child in the chair. They then email it through to the practice email address. The reception desk gets a ping that they've received an email. They straight away go in, right-click on the image, copy it, and then go into their Canva. Now, what I do suggest for receptionists out there is you may be able to see here, I have got bookmarked to my computer screen everything that I use on a regular basis. Whatever you can do to make things really snappy at the front desk is going to help you. Whatever seconds you can shave off getting these systems out is going to help you. And so then all you would need to do is open up a new search page, click on the C for Canva, and within that you've already got your template set up. Where's the one? First certificate. You've already got it set up. So then when you have got that photo of that child that you've copied from the email, all you need to do is Control V, insert it, change the name. Don't have a date on here if you don't want to. If that's an additional thing that's going to make it a laborious task, you don't have to have a date on there. You just quickly change the name from Peter to Paul and to Mary. And then download it as a PDF, print it off, and then by the time that child's coming out from the surgery, you're handing over the printed certificate. I know that sometimes colour print can be, or colour cartridges can be expensive. This is one area that I think it's worth splurging. Sometimes we have to look at the cost of providing a certain something and then recognising the potential dollar value it ends up being able to generate for the practice. So for example, with this, you go, sure, it costs a little bit more. Generally, we were trying to not use our color printer cartridges, sure. But if this makes sure that that new patient child is so happy and the parents are so satisfied that they are then talking about us, you should go to my practice. They give the kids certificates. And oh gosh, my child had such a great experience. Husband and wife, we can go on in. It's safe. It's a good practice. It's going to become our family practice. Then you can say, gosh, whatever it costs for the printer cartridges, that's okay, because the value we're going to end up getting from the results of this is enormous. And so we're happy to do that. So what I'm going to do is start setting up that first kind of doing session, workshop session. It's going to take between 1 and 2 hours. I'm still getting my mind around exactly how I'm going to deliver it in a way that whether you're live or watching the recording, I'm going step by step, slow enough through things in a way that's going to keep you engaged and on the ball with everything. So what I want to do is set up a doing session. I really want to try to find a better word for doing session because I have stolen it from somebody else. But workshop, my workshop might be the best, but if anyone's got a brilliant idea about what I can call these sessions, I want it to really identify, oh, we get in there, we're on our computers all together, and we're getting things created. So generating a template first certificate for your practice is one of the things on the agenda with that. So hopefully you like that idea about the first certificates, and you know, also you may already be doing this, but whatever you can do to further add value to that first appointment time for the kids is great. You don't have to get any treatment done. It's all about having fun, not being terribly rushed, that you've given the parent all the information that they need without having the child get all ratty because they're bored now because the attention is no longer on them. Give little, got in your hand, little bags where they've got the sticker and they've got the little toothbrush and the mini toothpaste, and you know, put a mask if you, you know, the, when all of our infection control or PPE concerns have passed us, put a mask and gloves in there. They have so much fun dressing up as the dentist, and then they're actually taking the experience and reliving it a bit at home with the siblings, who can then get excited about their visit. So whatever you can do to really deepen that engagement and that excitement around that first appointment time, we can often think of these children visits as not that important, in the sense of important to get keep their oral health, but not as important to actually create a bit of theatrics around that appointment time. But I think it's actually is such a practice builder in terms of getting families in. I think this is, and really, parents do, especially mums, they talk to each other about how to provide a better life for their child, a better experience for their child and everything. And so if you provide an extraordinary experience for the young ones, you will start getting more new patients and more families coming in. So I think this is a good idea. Hopefully you guys think the same thing. And if you have got anything specific that you do in your world, in your practice, and you are comfortable sharing it, please do share it now. I'll make sure that whatever comments come through are added to this card and also added to our marketing ideas card of all the ways we can further improve the way we're promoting ourselves to families, and so we're getting families coming in the door. We are at 5:17. We're going beautifully with time. When you've got two major topics, you've got to try pretty hard to not go well with time. The next thing is the recall strategy. Now, the reason we're talking about recall strategy today is because under the to-do list of things, recall strategy had a couple of people interested in it. So you've nominated that it's an area that you want to know more about and find out a few hints around. And so those sort of things naturally float to the surface when I'm thinking about what to put on the agenda for the next meeting. So if you are wanting any of these or additional topics discussed at future meetings, please express your interest, because the ones that have the more expressions of interest will rise to the top. And the way you do that is simply hover over the card and hit the space bar on your computer, on your desk, on your keyboard, and you can add yourself, take yourself off. It's that easy. So you can, and if you would like to add a new card, then you just simply add another card and you add your agenda item here. Easy peasy. Okay, so recalls. I've pinched a couple of the slides that I use within the webinar, which was recorded for the online course within the JPPS online school. Oops, actually get to the actual one. What recall strategy used to be years ago when I was a young dental nurse was you get a whole list of patients, 200 patients, and you get sent to a back room somewhere with a telephone, and you one by one would ring every single patient. And it was a laborious task. It was sometimes enjoyable when you learnt to improve your communication and rapport building skills a little bit better. You would start getting some bookings, so you'd feel that sense of progress and achievement. However, when you're younger, I often would think to myself, it seems to be a task just to get through the phone calls, where the intention really is to get people booked in. So if you are still using the very successful method, in a way, I have heard of one practice that still do it. I was chatting with them at an expo and they said, So we get massive response from it. However, I do find that the habits and behavior around telephone use is different now, which we'll talk about. If you do still have it as a task for a staff member to sit away and just get through that recall list, I want you to start thinking about, okay, it's not just a task to be completed, it's a task to actually get people to book in. If part of that of getting people to book in means keeping that person who's doing the phone calls engaged and excited about the process, then maybe we break it up. So instead of doing it once a month, then once a week, you're doing a quarter of the list. And so if you are getting quite a number of unanswered phone calls and message banks and all the rest of it, and you're feeling that you're getting a bit depleted in your energy and your excitement about it because you're not getting all that much success and progress from it, then at least if you're just doing 25% of the list, you can come in fresh each week rather than just continually coming down this slide. And so by the time you're doing the last few, you're just like, whatever, I just want to get these calls done. I want to get this job done. And so do think about, okay, when you are delegating this task out, do think about what your verbiage is, what your language is saying to that person. I would prefer you get through half the list and get 20 bookings rather than get through all the list and get 10 bookings. So our intention here is to actually get people to book in. So as you're doing the phone calls, if you're seeing trends, if you're thinking there's a better way of doing something, please be in communication with the team about it, because we want this to be a successful system. Interestingly, the lovely Carolyn Dean of Dental Practice Marketing, I think is her company name. She's now doing all of her marketing efforts for Bupa. But when she was doing, I think she still does websites for everybody. But I have seen a snippet of one of her webinars, and she brought up this interesting slide. So if this is actually true, you may need to think about building out your recall strategy from one communication to three. So after one reminder to a patient that their recall was due, 50% booked in. When you increase that to three reminders, by the time the third reminder has been responded to by the patients, you've now got an 85% booking in rate. Huge difference. It's a difference that if this is correct, it's a difference that it's worth to get to a third reminder. The proof will be in the pudding for you. This is certainly an area that I suggest tracking your results. No matter what you do, track your results. So the tracking, I've got a little slide here to show you how you can track it. Very straightforward and easy. So we've got, this is the month. We're going to send our first reminder this day, our second reminder this day, and our third reminder this day. And then after each event, give it a couple of days for people to respond. Then after each event, make a note of how many people booked in from those things. I know that within Dental for Windows, it's the software system that I'm most familiar with. When you create a recall list, for example, for June, we're in May at the moment, so you've sent it, you're about to do it for June, it will tell you at any given day, when you look back into that list, what percentage have actually booked in. So hopefully the other software systems have that same kind of feedback for you. And that's another point of advice that I have for you, is to contact your software provider to ensure you are making best use of your system. So once you've decided this is the way we're going to recall our patients, and this presentation today may have you revisiting that and getting together with the whole team and go, let's have a think about whether we're doing it with a great element of success or not, or whether we need to modify what we do. Once you've decided upon your strategy, if you like, contact your software provider and say, this is what we want to do. How much of this can we automate? How much of this is better that we do in person? This is the way we would normally roll it out in your software system. Have there been updates? Do I not understand the complexity of it effectively enough? Help us get this automated. Help us get this in the process, in the system. And so do remain in communication with your software providers around this. So when you start rolling, what I want you to do now is wherever possible, reflect back and go, where are we now? So do, if you've got data for Windows, for example, go back to the last number of months recalls and check in with yourself, what percentage of people actually book in after we roll out our recall strategy? So you've got a starting point. And then think, okay, are we going to make any modifications to what we do? And you roll that out. And then as each communication happens with patients, as each time they've been reminded in whatever mode you've chosen, then start seeing what the behavior of your clients are. See if indeed you do get a greater sense of success after a third reminder. Because what you don't want is to go to all the effort and expense of reminding people three times where this actual, these figures may not work for your practice. So you want to find out if they are going to or not. So let's jump it up to a third reminder for a couple of months, see what happens. If there's no improvement, then we've got to go back to the drawing board and go, what else do we need to do in terms of the method we use to communicate, the timing of our communications and the content of those communications. Let's keep modifying things until we're really happy with the result that we're getting. Okay, let's talk a little bit about types of patients, because this will help when it comes to mode of communication. So I often talk about the three different types of patients that every practice has. Wandering up there, seeing if there's any questions or comments or anything like that. The three different types of patients that every practice has are, and this is the one slide that I didn't actually have, as I cut off the titles to them. That's okay. There are emergency clients or transient clients. I call them transient clients. Then there are loyal clients. And then there are perpetual clients. So I will change this slide so you've got those three labels there. Each of these little bodies gets bigger with the value they present to your practice over the long term. And we're going to go through each one of these one at a time. So your transient patients, they're the ones that are really just calling your practice for an emergency only. I might see if I can get my pointer happening so that will help you a little bit. They generally come in for emergencies only. And if you said to them, it's probably about time you had a checkup as well, you should book in for that, they won't book in for that. And you could remind them three times and they won't book in for that. You could send recalls till the cows come home and they will not book in for a recall. These people rarely complete any advised treatment. So if they've come in for a toothache, unless it's going to be, you know, an extraction on the day or within a few days, it could be a root canal. They'll probably go one or two appointments into the root canal. Then you're constantly trying to get them back in for the remainder of the treatment. If it's because they've had a toothache, they've got a really large filling, we need to put a band around it, come back later for a crown, they're not going to go ahead and do that. So they rarely complete any advised treatment. Even if they get the examination on the day, the full examination on the day, that any decay found will be left there for months thereafter. This particular client is not particularly loyal. If they then have another toothache a year down the track, they will likely call you first. But if you can't fit them in at the time that they want, you could fit them in on the day, but if it's not at the time that they want, it's no skin off their nose, they'll just call the next practice on the list. No big deal. Emergency patients, transient patients are still a crucial part of your practice growth because these people are still going out to their friends and family, talking about their experience. And as you know, if they've had a bad experience, they tell many people. If they've had a good experience, they tell few. You still want the few to be told a good experience. And so if you can manage your emergency patients well and still provide them with a wonderful experience, then you may not have any chance of converting them to a loyal patient, but the people that they talk to, you start getting a better and better reputation in the area, which is exactly what you want. If you give an emergency patient a bad experience, then nowadays it's so much easier for them ever before to get that word out because they just leave a bad Google review. And we know how difficult it is to get down a negative Google review. It's nearly impossible to have it bumped off your reviews list, and then you've got to go to the effort of burying it amongst a whole bunch of other Google reviews. And so do think of your emergency patients as crucial to your practice growth, because they are a referrer, and we want to avoid them having a negative impact on the practice as well, because they don't have any particular loyalty to you. They don't care if they've upset you with a bad Google review. The second group are the loyals. Now, the loyal patients I had in mind, particularly when I purchased my practice back in 2003 from David Fenwick, brilliant, wonderful dentist, wonderful man, wonderful human being. He was very generous with me in that I had to go on vendor terms and pay him off over a couple of years because I wasn't a dentist. No one would give me money, loan me money for the practice. And so he's forever golden in my eyes. Now, when I was planning the transition, he, of course, we both together wrote a letter to all the patients. I sent that letter of transition to everyone that had attended the practice in the previous 5-year period. The practice had been there, so he sold in 2003 to me. He'd been at that location since the 70s, and prior to that, the practice had been in the city in Collins Street. So we're talking a long client base, and I didn't realise at the time that 5 years was not long enough to go back into the client base and send all these patients the letter, the transition letter. So I would sit at reception year after year after year and still get phone calls from people that hadn't been there for 8 years, 9 years, and upset that they did not receive a communication regarding David leaving. And I think to my parents, my family were never regular attenders at a dental practice. However, we were loyal. We only ever went back to the same one, and we would never have trusted anybody else to look after our situations as they cropped up. And so to me, you might think, oh, the loyals are the ones that come every 6 months. And I think, no, I think loyals are the ones that would only ever come to you. They're not regular attenders, but they would only ever come to you. And they would be upset to think that they weren't as crucial to you, as important to you, as valuable to you as any other practice, any other patient in your practice. So they're sitting back going, I'm loyal. I'm devoted to you. I don't go anywhere else. So see me as highly valuable. And so your loyals, they have recalls every few years. They do complete all the advised treatment though. If you've said you've got a decay and I really think you need to get that looked at, they'll go, sure, I'll book in. And they only ever attend your practice. And then we shift up to the perpetuals. These are the patients that do come every 6 to 12 months. They complete all the advised treatment. They also only ever attend your practice, and they are very likely to refer their friends and family. So are the loyals. They're likely to talk you up. If you deliver to them a really strong ongoing experience, there is that sense of reciprocity. They're so great to me, whatever I can do for them, I'm going to try to do. And that's referring friends and family or giving a good Google review. So if you've delivered a great experience to somebody and they say, I just love coming here, that's the key point, that they're in essence saying, I'll do something for you now. I'm here, I can do something for you. So if someone says, thank you so much, I so enjoy coming here, or I've so enjoyed my appointment time today, that's a key time to jump in and go, there is one thing you could do for me, if you don't mind me asking, only if you're happy to, could you jump online when you get home and give us a good Google review? So many people are doing this now. I think we should be doing it here as well. Or there is something that you could do for me. If you've got any friends and family just like you that you think that we could help out, refer them. That is the way we're going to grow our practice. And I'd love to grow it with people like you. So use that opportunity. So when you're thinking about the recalls, this is what I want you to understand. I want you to keep in mind your transient, your loyal, and your perpetual patients. So when we're talking about the first, second, and third communication you have to remind patients that they're due to come back in again for the next checkup, what I would like you to do is go, okay, this 50% who respond after the first reminder, which group are they going to be a part of? They're going to be this group. your first reminder is appealing to the ones that are going to be booking in, even if they don't hear from you. They just need the reminder. Quite often nowadays, they're the ones pre-booking. They've already booked in 6 months prior. They've already booked in a little drink. And so when you're thinking, what kind of strategy are we going to test out for a couple of months? We're going to do three steps just to see the impact it has on the number of people who respond to our recalls. Think to yourself, put yourself in the headspace. Think of one of your regular attenders that comes every 6 months and think, what would they need in order to book straight in? And I think all they would need necessarily is an SMS reminder. Nice, quick, snappy, let's get those perpetuals in the book. Once we've got the perpetuals in the book, there's going to be our second communication with patients. So who are we talking to then? With our second communication, we're probably still talking to a few of the perpetuals that forgot to book in on the first prompt, but we're certainly trying to focus on the loyals. We're trying to get into the loyal's mind, and you've got patients just like this. So think about that particular person and think, what do they need? What do they need to book in this time? Sure, you've come in just 6 months ago and you don't normally come in for another couple of years for your next checkup. But what are we going to do to try to entice you to come in this time? And that's where I developed a letter, a reason to return. And so your second communication could be a physical letter that goes out to the patient. And physical is much, it leaves a stronger impression on our brain than a phone call, an email, a text. Physical is powerful. And so maybe rather than us telling them the reasons why we would like to see them in six or straight away for their recall, it's been 6 months, come on in, I had concerns. Think about what could be concerning them. Get into their life. And one of the things could be, you want to make sure you've got fresh breath. And so give them a little reminder that if they're not getting their regular 6 monthly cleanings, their breath could be becoming a little bit offensive. None of us wants to be offensive in that way. And so plant that seed. The second one could be just to check for decay, cracks and chips. These are people that do care about their oral health, which is why they come and get the advised treatment that you tell them they need when they come for their random recalls. So plant the seed. Oh, that's right. Decay grows. Oh, that's right. I think I had a crack last time. I just want to make sure that these things don't get worse. Another one could be maintaining previous treatment. And I've got a little hint I'm going to tell you later on about making sure the patients are aware of the one thing that you're wanting to look out for their next recall. So I'll talk a little bit more about that. But if they've just had an implant, if they've just had an extraction, if they've just had anything that you think, I'd like to assess that in 6 months to make sure things are all beautiful and good, making sure that the gum around that new crown is tightening up and looking beautiful, that the implant is all healing well, and that the extraction site, that they're not suffering any function problems after that extraction was done. So maintaining previous treatment is an important thing for the patient if they are all concerned that making sure that the stuff that's going on in their mouth is being maintained well, and you've got a huge role to play in that, but we'll talk about that more in a minute. The other one is elimination of systemic infection. If you've got people who are over the age of 70, the percentage of them that are being diagnosed with diabetes and heart disease are high. And so they often do not get told by their GPs that there's a connection between oral health and systemic disease. So this becomes your responsibility now. So if you do notice in your patient's medical history form that they have had a diagnosis like that, then talk about that with them. Tell them about what that connection is. And so then they get a reminder, oh, that's right. It's not just about getting my cleaning done. It's also about making sure that my diabetes isn't complicated with my oral condition. Not that a patient would think about it in that particular language. And so make sure you're having the kind of communications that you're having that you need to have with patients in order to remind them at the 6 monthly reminder letter, oh, that's right, I'm in that basket of people that needs to really come in more regularly than what I currently do. So that is an effective second step, I believe, or third step. What I have suggested is that, because at no point, keep in mind, at no point are you ever trying to appeal to this person, not because you don't want them in your practice, but because they won't respond to any communication around coming in for a recall. They just won't. It's just not part of the way they live their life. And, you know, I've been in, as many of you know, I've been in the dental industry since I was 17 years old. I'm 49 now, and I still don't go to 6-monthly recalls. I know how important they are, and I still don't go. Crazy. So sometimes the values that we're brought up with in regards to health, for example, they stick with us like glue, like glue. So never have this person in mind. So on the SMS or that first reminder, get in this person's headspace. Get your team all involved in this discussion. Everyone can see the different characteristics of each of these groups. And then for the second communication, think about the loyals. Where are their heads at? What age are the loyals? What type of communication will they need? And so what can be an effective one is that the first reminder is an SMS. The second reminder may be a follow-up SMS. And then the third reminder, a letter. Or SMS, letter, and then phone call. Maybe bring back the phone call and just see what kind of response you do get where they go, oh, yeah, you've reminded me twice now. Now that you're on the phone with me, I will book in. The issue around telephone at the moment is that when I was a young dental nurse ringing through those lists of people, whenever somebody would answer, they was either at home or at work. They were in a headspace to be able to have a short conversation. When you ring people now, they either look at their phone, it's the dentist, they can go to message bank. So often you do go to message bank. Or you're ringing them when they're in the Coles checkout queue, at the child's sporting event, going for their daily exercise routine, at a friend's place for coffee. They're doing something and you've actually interrupted their flow of day and they are not in the headspace for a conversation straight away. So they'll do the whole, I'll call you later. Oh, that's right. I've got to look at my diary and all these reasons why not to commit straight away, because all they want to do is get off the phone straight away because it's not a convenient time for them. They're not going to hold up the Coles checkout queue to be able to make an appointment time to come and see the dentist. So the phone calls are something that they used to be enormously effective, but I think the habits of people are changing now, obviously, because we walk around with our phones. Now I want to go through a few hints. Let me make sure I've shown you. Oh, that's the other thing I wanted to show you. This was a recall card. So when you're sending something physical in the mail, I used to send a recall card. This is before we all had mobile phones with us. And this was a very effective way of getting the patients back in. And I was always intrigued at how many people used to comment on it. So it was a postcard thickness card. It was die cut in the shape of a tooth. You get these dies organized at your local snap printing. Once they make the die once, and you have to make it again. It costs about $150 to get the die, but then all your future print jobs are much more less expensive because you've already got this first bit done. And it would have a magnet. There's stationery stores around the place that give you A4 sheets of little magnets that are about that size. And they're adhesive, so you just whack it on the back. And so we would just put the person's name written on the card or the number of children's name written on the tooth card and the month that they're due. That's an important bit. The month that they're due is important. Whack the magnet on the back and post it out to them. I go to my friends and family's homes that have 4 magnets up on their fridge. They hung onto them because it had the phone number there. But many people would ring up and, you know, me sitting on the front desk, they would ring up and they'd say, I've been looking at your card since October. I can't believe so many months have passed. I've got to finally book in. And so it was a constant reminder of how delayed they'd been in following up on that card. So I did find it a very useful tool. So if you wanted to go down that path, I've got a little guide there because you need a little guide. If you've got any further questions about that, let me know. Now let's go through some hints. First of all, my first hint to you is give your patients the why. And this is what I was alluding to before. What you want to leave your patient with when they come out to the front desk is a compelling reason to come back in 6 months. And there's always something to assess. As the clinician, you generally say, yep, you're all good again for another 6 months, where in essence, that's not what you're saying. What you're saying really is, there are a couple of areas, a couple or several areas that I always want to keep an eye on because they've got the potential to get worse or cause complications for you. They may be minor. It might be you're missing flossing in one area and you're getting a bit of gum inflammation. It might be major. That crack line, I can actually see how fragile the enamel is around that amalgam filling, and you don't want to get that changed over yet. So something that I really want to keep an eye on. So it can be anything. Their grinding issue, their acidic diet, it can be anything. So give your patients the why to come back next time. And having one major one is better. They won't be able to remember a whole series of things. And so while they're in the chair lying back, you know, you're tapping in the area. We'll go through this with patient engagement techniques at a future live session. But you're tapping in the area saying, gosh, this area, this particular tooth has me troubled. I want to continue keeping an eye on it. It doesn't warrant any treatment at the moment, but as you know, things can change. Just be aware of it. Make sure you brush and floss in the area, not too heavy with the flossing, just be nice and gentle. And your next due, what month are we now? Your next due in November, I want to make sure I see that again in November, make sure everything's okay. And so you're giving them the one reason. So they're not right for 6 months. They're having to book in November. To get this assessed. So do give them the strong and compelling why. Bring that sense of urgency out to the reception desk. And when you say to the receptionist, Joy, we've seen Sally, she's looking pretty good. There is an area, and then you do this again. So she remembers the communication you had. There is an area on her lower right that I want to see again at her recall in November to make sure it's still all good. So if we can organise that, that'd be great. Then you leave, and then the receptionist, Joy, sits there and goes, Sally, let me make sure I get a time for you now for November. If Sally doesn't want to pre-book, that's groovy. When you're sending her the reminder letter, it may prompt her memory then. The other thing is to stop saying 6 months, because a month can go past and they've still got, it's got to book it in 6 months. It can be better to instead say, I want to see you back in November. There's a sense of importance, more importance over that. It's got to be November. Oh, so it's not 6 months, it's November. It'd be November. So get into the habit of just using the month instead. Of course, pre-booking is a very effective way of making sure you're getting that initial recall strategy step happening. And many practices that are family-based and have had a long history within their community and within their patients, they've got them in this lovely routine where they just book it in 6 months. If you're finding that's a challenge to get them to book it in 6 months, a couple of things you can do are have laminated calendar of when the school holidays are, because that's often the reason why they can't book it in 6 months. I don't know when the school holidays are. So then you whip that one out. And you say, these are the school holidays, if this helps you coordinate when to bring the kids in for their next checkup. Another one could be, I don't know what I'm doing in 6 months. You say, not a problem. If you'd like, I can put you in there and flag you off that I call you 2 weeks beforehand. You can always change it if we need to. So whatever you can to get them in the book is a positive step. Another one is insurance incentive. So the ones that you know, the ones that do have insurance, they've just swiped their card. And so if they are hedging or I'm not quite sure whether to book in or not now and for the 6 monthly, then you can say to them, well, you're with your health insurance, you are entitled to 2 checkups a year. So we just want to make sure that you do get those 2 checkups a year, because if you don't use your rebate dollars within the year, they go. And then the insurance incentive, if you've got a lot of people with insurance in your client base, that could be added in your reason for a recall letter as well. Just reminding them you get a benefit every time you come in from the rebate. And the final hint I wanted to leave you with was booking links. booking links are getting more and more popular, a more and more popular way to book in appointment times all the time. I'm intrigued in my generation because a lot of people who are younger than me book everything online. If I booked a restaurant online, I would then ring the restaurant and make sure they got my booking. But people who are younger than me, they just book online and they assume that it's all set in stone. And it usually is all set in stone as well. You don't need to then ring up and confirm that they've got your booking there. And people, when you start opening up your Facebook page, the messenger side of it, encouraging people to leave messages, they're leaving messages at 11 o'clock at night, 2 o'clock in the morning, 7 o'clock in the morning. And so people are online at any time of the day and night. Remove as many barriers as possible to have patients book in. Make it as easy as possible for your patients to book in. So with your recall reminder, maybe you send an SMS link, little short code link on the letter or on your website, direct them to the website, wherever it is, where they can just click on the link, book themselves in. You may find that's a growing trend depending on the age demographic of your area. Certainly, people of an older generation much prefer the physical communication, the conversation, the phone call, and younger people are like, what are you talking to me for? You're boring me already. So have a think about this as your recall strategy. Whatever you've got going on at the moment, think, because it's normally once. You normally send it once and then that's it. We do need to be in communication with our patients for their recalls. That's part of our duty of care. But to think about the process with the intention in mind, not to just send it, but to actually have everyone book in for those appointment times, then try 3 reminders for a couple of months. Let's just and then absolutely track those figures going through. The other thing I'll make sure I attach to this is that document there, so you don't have to create your own document. I won't have this stuff here written in there, but then you can print that off and hand it to your receptionist and say, can we just decide what we're going to do for the next couple of months? Let's track our responses and see how we're faring. If anyone has any questions, please let me know as I tick this off. Oh, the recall strategy I'm going to drag into doing. So it's right there for you. And I can actually put social media presence in completed at the moment, I think. Are we going to add anything further to that one? No, I don't think so. That Canva YouTube video does go a bit quick, so that's why we're populating this video tutorials list. So I think I will move social media presence to completed because it's the video tutorials that will start becoming populated. I'm going to take the top priority off and click that I've done this today and tick off the recall strategy that's been completed. There's the member check-in survey. If you could fill that out, I would be so grateful. Thank you. I would love your feedback. And I will now drag that over to the completed column. Our next meeting live session, I'm going to hover over it, hit L for label, take it off mid, add it to top. Over the next one, L for label, take it off low, make it mid. And our next one, L for label, make it a low priority. So our next one is May the 31st. It's a Sunday, this coming Sunday. If you have anything that you would like discussed specifically, please add it to the agenda. And we certainly shall jump onto that. I'm still working on a reverse engineering program in such a process, a very nice process that will help everybody move through it. So I'm excited by that because I'm hoping that that's going to be a very useful tool with a couple of practices that are heavily into goal establishment at the moment. But I thank everybody for your time. I hope you all have a lovely afternoon and evening planned. I do because it's time for wine and eating and husband, and they're all good things. And so my evening's going to be fantastic. And I look forward to seeing you all next time. The recording will be attached the minute it's all ready. But have a beautiful, beautiful few days. And for those that are on the Facebook group, I'll communicate with you over the coming days there. See you later, everybody. Bye-bye.